Hello and welcome to this, the third episode of Brashcast. I'm Liam and as always I'm here with Ross?
Hello.
Ross Graham.
Second time.
Yeah, second time. Well, we could go back and redo that, but nah, I'm just going to keep going with it.
So
how's things, man?
Yeah, pretty good. Not really played many games.
Not really played many games?
No, but I guess, apart from one really, it's one I'm a little bit ashamed of, but I've been playing what is essentially the Sky Sims.
The Sky Sims?
It's The Sims in Skyrim. It's Hearthfire. It's...
Oh, with the house, where the, is it, like, the download is literally just a house.
Yeah, well, three houses.
Oh, three houses.
Three houses.
Brilliant.
Plus, absolutely, it doesn't seem like any quest lines whatsoever.
I heard there's nothing. It's literally
you can adopt some children.
Adopt children. So you can't have the children. You can just adopt the children. Like Madonna style. You can't actually procreate, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think... The Madonna one, I think, is... Skyrim seems to be slightly racially challenged.
Racially challenged? Is a lot of white boys in Skyrim?
There's a lot of honkies.
There's a lot of honkies. No brothers in Skyrim. See, I saw...
They're called Red Guards.
Black guys?
Yeah.
Red Guards?
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, I think they... Well, it's that typical...
But there's not many of them?
No.
No, okay.
No. Because it's in Skyrim, everyone looks like a kind of Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, they do have that look about them, don't they?
Yeah.
And all the babies white as well.
Yeah. There's... kids, but you only really see them in the cities.
Okay.
And the little villages never really seem to have any.
Okay. That's quite creepy. Towns without kids. What happened to them? That's how, like, horror movies start.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, you don't see the kids until they're all there at once just staring at you.
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, as I said, I bought Skyrim. I haven't given it to actually playing it, but I own it now, so... It's one of those games. I'm either going to pick it up, I'll play it for a couple hours, and again decide it's not for me, or that'll be my life for the next couple of months.
You'll just lose yourself.
Yeah, if I can get over the bugs and the shitty NPCs and, you know, the lack of blackness, then, you know, it might well prove to be the game for me, but...
Oh, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of lizards, then, and...
Oh, lizard men. Well, I'm glad the lizard men are well represented. This is good. No Hispanics, no blacks, but there's plenty of lizard men, so that's good. But I mean, I haven't. I was playing a bit of Ghost Recon. That's about it. But again, get my ass handed to me on what's it called? What's the acronym for it? GOB or something?
Grom.
Like that. No, not GOB.
Future Soldier.
No. The what's it called? The PC gamer is just PC famous PC shooter. I'm just forgetting the name.
GO. Counter Strike GO. Global Offensive.
Yes, GOBO. Or whatever it is, Kobo. I'm getting
YOLO?
This
one. I don't know.
Whatever.
People go on about this YOLO thing.
I'm still rubbish at that anyway. But the thing is, once again, we started talking about games, but as promised, we are actually going to mention movies this week. We're going to combine the two, though, and we're going to go through the best and worst, mostly worst, video game movies.
We're going to make the transition easier.
Yeah. It's going to be a gentle transition, like a gentle lover.
So we're not dragging it. In fact, I was going to say dragging the conversation kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
But if you're using the allegory that it's a lover, then that's really not something that we want.
No, you don't want to... If you're ever talking about sex or one of your own sexual endeavours, you never want to use the term kicking and screaming.
No.
I mean, that's just going to be bad, isn't it?
I do feel a bit dirty now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get arrested for, or at least lose friends. I mean, to be honest, my girlfriend's sitting on the couch right now, but thank God she's got her earphones in, so we'll just leave it at that. The only thing I will add before we go into this is Ross was kind enough to loan me a few copies of The Boys. I'm just getting into comic... I was quite into comic books when I was younger, but I haven't read anything for ages. And recently...
The Hulk that you were really into.
Yeah, right? I was quite into The Hulk and a few other bits and bobs. But it's recently I've kind of decided to go back, and rather than get into comics, I'm going back and kind of reading what I regarded the classics, you know, via graphic novel. And I've been moving my way through them, but I'd never heard of The Boys until you mentioned it. But fuck me, that is an awesome graphic novel. I've just finished volume two. How many volumes are there?
I think I have 10 or 11 so far.
Are there that many?
Yeah. Awesome. They're still going.
That's great news, because I am genuinely in love.
Yeah.
I mean, Wee Huey, amazing.
Did you read the foreword
by Simon Pegg?
Yeah,
because Wee Huey is actually based visually at least, on Simon Pegg. He's from Glasgow, the character. But
well, he's actually from the middle of nowhere.
Is he the middle of nowhere?
Like there is a later one coming called Highland Laddie.
Oh, okay.
He goes home to kind of reflect.
Oh, see, I've only read the first two, and at the moment, they've done is mention Glasgow, so I just assumed he was from there.
We probably want to keep this relatively spoiler-free.
Yeah, well, needs to say, it's awesome. Go out and read it. It's violent as fuck, but it's really well written. The animation's amazing. It's extreme.
Yeah, it is.
But in a good way.
The concept itself is pretty cool. It's basically it's a world where superheroes aren't that uncommon.
No.
They're still freak occurrences, but basically the world has superheroes. And instead of that Marvel or DC idea where they're all upstanding and
want to fight, don't they?
Well, yeah.
In the public eye, they try and sell themselves as the superheroes from the comic books.
But, of course, that's their job. And when they're not working, they are exactly like us.
As a filth mice.
Basically, imagine what you would do if you had these powers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you would, you know, use it maybe for immoral means.
Oh, without question. And it's not just that, it's the kind of collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the book actually comes, well, the character, again, we won't go into the details, but the idea of, you know, collateral damage that comes from their escapades, the fact that they, yeah, okay, they might be saving the world, but they don't really give a shit about the smaller details.
No.
But as we won't go into it. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but go out there, read it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is, and I can't wait to get into the rest of them. But without the way,
you've got 3 and 4 in front of you.
Yeah, 3 and 4, they're ready to go. But I just need to get off my chest because they really are the balls.
Yeah.
But the plan today, we're just going to go through a list, as we say, of the kind of big hitters and some of the smaller ones from the video game to movie world adaptations.
Yeah.
And just see how many we think are actually worth seeing. So if we just kind of take one at a time, maybe, and just say, okay, was it any good? So, you know, the thing is, this has come about because I heard recently that they were going to start doing a Shadow of the Colossus movie that's going to be promoted by Sony. Potentially a good idea, but you have no idea how that's going to go until you see something.
Well, Shadow of the Colossus has its own boundary in the fact that the main character doesn't really speak.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if they do it in an adult way, like, you know, as a real mood piece...
Yeah.
What's his name? Oh, I forgot his name. The guy who directed Drive.
All right.
He would be a perfect choice, because he is... I mean, he makes his living from making movies with minimal dialogue. They're all mood. That film he did with... I think we mentioned it last week... the bad guy from Casino Royale.
Mads Mikkelsen. Was it Valhalla Rising?
Valhalla Rising.
I haven't actually seen that.
Not for everyone.
Yeah.
And the cover sells it completely the wrong way.
It's like axes.
Yeah. And it looks like it's 302 or something.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that. Like Drive, there's hardly any violence. But when it is violent, it is violent as fuck. And the best thing about it, like I said, there's so little dialogue, it's all mood. And if you had a guy like that, if Sony could somehow get him on board to Shadow of the Colossus, then that's something I could totally get excited about.
It's definitely a film that could... that it would require a massive CGI budget when you consider what the Colossi represent, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, other than the Colossi, though, I mean, the actual surroundings, they're just fields and ruins for the most part.
But
obviously it would take...
They would need to adapt that story, though, because there's no way that you would get, like, 2 hours or an hour and a half out of that plot.
As I said, if you're going to do that, it would take a very skilled director, but I can't imagine them making it that way, and I can't imagine getting him on board to direct it, but...
I study video game design, and a large, like, part of making games involves these tropes that have been around for centuries.
Yeah.
And the hero's journey is one that comes up over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like Star Wars, one of my, you know, favourite series, is just riddled with the hero's story, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, as they say, it's a Western space. I mean, you know, that story, it happens to be in space, but that story could be anywhere, you know? That's the point, isn't it? It's just been shifted into space.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be... It's very stereotypical in that regard, you know, that you start, you don't have the knowledge to meet these titans.
Well, it's not just the, they're unwilling quite often.
Yeah.
It's the usual tale, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you could turn it into a big, you know, if you turn it into a big adventure movie with, like, you know, this kind of big arc for the character, I just think it would lose everything that the game was about. I think if you're going to make a film on Shadow of the Colossus, I think you're going to go all out, make it a mood piece. And I, the thing is, you know, I'd love to see them go that way, but I'm not sure if they will.
I would like to see that. I just, the problem being is it would have to be a cult movie, because I think if they were going to make it a mood piece.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
There's no way they're going to appeal to a mass market.
The bigger the budget for that film, the more I'd be worried about. Yeah. But even then, I mean, it can go the other way, because, I mean, one of the reasons I thought about doing this podcast was because I saw the trailer for Silent Hill 2. And like the first one, you know, it's got everything the game had. It's got the music. It's got the look. Because I remember watching the first one, and it looks great. It looks like the game. When she's in the city... in Silent Hill, and you know, you have the kind of ash falling, and with the soundtrack's bang on, and the mood's correct, the characters are all there as you would hope, but it just, for me, it didn't work as a film in the same way it did as a game. It was almost too reverential to the video game, almost to its detriment.
The problem I have with horror movies being out of horror games is that often the gameplay is, especially with Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the gameplay becomes a part of the experience.
Oh, yeah, without...
And obviously, a horror film, sometimes they have, like, a really good story,
mm-hmm.
but more often than not, it's all about frights.
Yeah.
And I think that without the kind of immersion that a video game can offer...
See, that's the problem. Silent Hill works because of the immersion and because you're the character... When you see it up on screen and they throw it all at you like that, you see too much too quick. And for me at least, I always think the most successful horror films are the ones where they
show you very little.
Show you very little.
It's how Hitchcock got.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why...
It's the power of suggestion.
Yeah, completely. That's why Paranormal Activity is so good. I mean, I know it's got its haters, but I thought Paranormal Activity was great.
I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it. Like, horror films are definitely not really my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't dislike them. Mm-hmm. There's very little to draw me towards them.
Yeah.
But... It really, when people talk about it and they're like, look at the trailer, and it really is just a woman in bed while a door slams, and it's like, maybe in context, you know, that's quite creepy.
It works a lot better in context, but believe me.
From the trailer, it's like, that doesn't look scary at all.
No, if you see just one thing, like if you just watch the trailer, it's just, oh look, there's a lampshade moving.
Yeah.
It doesn't look scary, but one of the reasons it works is because... It's in a familiar setting.
Yeah.
It's like you go watch it, and so much of that film is set in just a bedroom which looks just like yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's between the two couples. You know, you never see anything. And the thing, as I said, you have to trust me in saying that it works much better in context anyway. But the problem is with the majority of the horror films, as soon as you see what you're supposed to be afraid of, it's just not as scary as what's in your head. And, you know, it loses all... And as I said, with Silent Hill, you see everything pretty much up on Front Street. And it's just like, that's just not that scary. It looks the part. And Silent Hill, in fairness, for all my criticism, I actually think is one of the better video game adaptations. I'm willing to go out on a limb here and put Silent Hill in the good category. Not great, but
all right.
If I'd say... I'm going to make a list here. Watch,
ones that are
don't
terrible.
Watch.
Yeah.
And I would say Silent Hill. I actually wrote Don't Silent then. I got confused. I put Silent Hill in the watch category because, you know, it's not a bad film. And it's if you're a fan of the game, it's got so many cool nods and stuff.
Yeah.
But it just loses something because, as I said, I think it's almost too reverential to the video game and to the style. And it just doesn't quite work as a film. But, you know, it's one of the better made ones and maybe worth watching.
Well, I mean, the horror genre of video games seems to be tapped quite easily, I think, because they've done it with so many kind of horror-y titles. So you've got... I mean, the Resident Evil series started off, obviously, survival horror.
Yeah.
And then the second one's still my favourite one.
Not the movie.
Fuck
that. The second movie sucks.
I mean, the first one was almost... I got the feeling it was a joke.
What, the first movie?
If
it feels like a joke, I don't think it was intended, but it did kind of teeter towards that.
I mean, Michelle Rodriguez, since Aliens, has she really done a series? Like, I suppose...
Aliens.
Yeah, was she not in Aliens?
No, you're thinking of Vasquez.
Yeah.
No, that's a different word. Like, Michelle Rodriguez would have been about 8 when Aliens came out, because that was made in, like, 87.
Oh,
that was, they look kind of similar, but, you know,
I guess that's
ish.
That's perhaps me being incredibly racist there. Sorry.
Do you know, it's borderline. It's borderline. you know, after the whole lizard thing earlier in the back, it's going down that route. We're actually going to name this the racist episode, so, you know, it's fine.
Well, I incriminate myself. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, she was in Lost, and she was in Fast and Furious 4, Fast 4, whatever the hell it's called.
And two, she just kind of... I really did not like...
Oh, see, I actually quite like Fast and Furious 4 and 5. They got so much better. The fifth one is easily the best in the series, and actually well worth it. Like, Bethan, my girlfriend, she hadn't seen any of them, and I dragged her to see Fast 5, and she really enjoyed it, because it is... just a balls-to-the-wall, stupid-ass action movie. But yeah. The fact of the matter is, it's really well-made. But back to Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah, she just plays the tough girls in that. She's playing the same old character. I watched it again recently.
The first one.
Yeah, it didn't hold up great.
It's that bit with the wall of lasers.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I'm like, oh, my God, that is... Like, fair enough, Umbrella have some pretty cool weaponry. But that is so not... what Resident Evil was about, even if you don't set it in the mansion, fair enough.
Yeah. It was
like, the Alice story, I don't mind, but oh my God, it was so bad. And then the second one,
Nemesis, you got to set for a great character. If they had designed him correctly and had him kind of popping in here and there. But the first one was watchable. It was fine.
It was funny.
Unintentionally funny, sadly.
Yeah.
The second one was appalling beyond belief. The third one
Extinction?
I can't remember. No, I think the fourth one's... the third one's Extinction.
Because that one I quite liked.
See, I just found that one forgettable.
Is that the one with Jill Valentine when they're out in the desert?
It's the one with the desert, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
See, I wasn't first, but it didn't... It went neither way. I can hardly remember it. It didn't upset me. I didn't bother watching the fourth, and it's like the fifth one. I might watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, the fourth one I actually quite enjoyed as well.
So I didn't see that
one. It's got Chris Redfield in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
See, I don't know about the character. The problem is with the characters, they take their costumes from the games too literally, and I just think they often look a bit retarded. Especially with the second one, they were especially bad. Like, Nemesis... They really could have
had a big trench coat. You didn't have to just say stars.
No. They took it too literally. It worked. It's another example of one of those things. They've been too reverential to the game, and it just doesn't work in a movie. They've got them in the suits, and you know, Nemesis ended up just looking a bit retarded. It just wasn't very good. But as you say, third one, it was fine. So I mean, are we going to put Resident Evil as a series
in
the watch or don't watch category?
I would put the first half in don't bother. But the second half, I actually think are not bad actors.
So are we going to say there's enough there to put Resident Evil
series?
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. You know what? They're curious. And
the thing is, it's not
Mila
like...
Mila Jovovich is just hot as fuck. So, you know, there's that. She's amazing.
Well,
she's the best actor.
It's obviously, like, she's married to the director, so it perpetuates itself.
You often get this, don't you, where you get a really hot actress... and a director as a husband, and then they turn him into a series.
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh my God, I mean, I won't even go into that. Any film with Kate Beckinsale, I'll watch just because she might just be the hottest thing on the planet. But, keep it on the female of the species, Tomb Raider. Now, I watched Tomb Raider 2 was on TV a couple of days ago, and it was so bad, man. I mean, it's actually got some... like, Jared Butler's in the second one, and James Bond is in the first. I forgot how large a part
Daniel Craig. And also, like, being a nerd, Chris Barry's in the first one as the butler.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember locking the butler in the fridge in Tomb Raider 2? Like,
I can't remember that song.
There was a bit in Tomb Raider 2 where you could run around her house.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she had, like, a walk-in fridge. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely no point in the walk-in fridge.
Other than to lock the butler in?
Yeah. So what you would do is you would go in and then jump over the butler's head when he shuffled up with the TV.
Yeah, because he was like really old in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then lock him in the
fridge. He wasn't Lister. Was it Lister?
He was Rimmer.
Rimmer, sorry.
On another, just a very quick side note, Red Dwarf is coming back and I'm so excited.
I did hear about that, and I actually got back into watching Red Dwarf a couple months ago. It still holds up pretty well.
It is my all-time favourite, and I don't say this lightly.
That is high praise.
BBC comedy, and that includes things like Blackadder, which
really,
I love Blackadder.
I prefer Well, the first series was shit. I would say
Blackadder was better written, but
yeah.
I love the character. Like, Back to Earth was pretty disappointing.
Yeah,
I don't think there's many people that really liked Back to Earth, and for me, I am just happy to get back to the characters because
I want to know
how they're getting on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love the fact that. I mean, it was the whole premise was the last man alive is a slob.
Who was not that dashing space captain. See, I can't distinguish many episodes except for the one when they go back to, you know, like they wake up as if they've been in virtual reality, which actually fits in quite nicely with this episode.
Back to reality
and Dwayne Dibley.
Yeah,
I'm Dwayne Dibley and all that. Like that one.
Careful, we're veering back into racist territory again. You know, you.
Maybe so. I'm gonna cut that short. All right, Tomb Raider. I'm gonna go on record to say, don't watch.
The first one,
the red blooded man in me wants to say watch, but well, beyond the fact that the first one is actually okay.
Are you actually going to go on record?
No, I'm gonna say this
because Angelina Jolie.
Not just because of Angelina Jolie. Back because it's precious memories. Back when Angelina Jolie was actually hot, because now she's all skeletal and shit.
I don't care.
No, every guy's thinking it. Angelina Jolie used to be the ultimate sex symbol. She's basically Jessica Rabbit, you know, in human form. But yeah, recently, like, she's so skinny now. Don't get me wrong, she's still attractive. You wouldn't kick her out of bed. But she's...
Oh, God.
But she is not... She's lost that sex appeal which she had, I think, when she's younger. And okay, I'm going to put that in the watch.
Remember, I put my Twitter handle out there. It's up there now. What I've learned is that militant feminists, like, troll Twitter.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, like, from other podcasts that
I've
listened
to. Well, you better
hope
we don't run into a black militant lesbian. I mean, you know, then we're in real trouble. We are in real trouble.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you know, if it kicks up a bit of interest... Bit of racism, bit of sexism, whatever it is.
We're just taking that one face on.
We're just going. Not many people, I think, take racism and sexism on, you know,
face on
anymore. So
we're bringing it back.
We're a brave podcast. That's the word I'm going to use. Brave.
Yeah, brave cast.
Oh, dude, you didn't just fucking do that, did you? He's only just fucking gone there with brave cast. Well, we'll look into maybe changing the name, but we'll give it a couple of episodes first. But so we've got Tomb Raider. We're going to leave that on the watch. Other than my sexist comments, the first one was actually okay. Just don't bother with the second one.
Yeah.
The second one's shit. One of the ones actually got a lot of hate. I actually thought Prince of Persia was watchable.
I will totally agree with you.
I'm glad someone's on the same page with me, because I thought it wasn't that bad. It seemed like I watched it. It wasn't great, but I was like, it's a decent blockbuster. And then all the hate came. I was like, well, what's the big deal? Okay, maybe they shouldn't have, you know,
cast Jake Gyllenhaal.
He, in fairness, I thought he did an admirable job.
He did okay. I don't know why the Persians would all speak with a posh English accent.
Yeah, well, that's what they do, don't they? It's like, if it's anywhere other than America, then it's like, do an English accent, silence cats. But like, I thought Jake Gyllenhaal, like, it's not his fault he's not Persian. He was cast. He looked the part. He was pretty good with the quips. Like, he was kind of like the rebooted version of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know they did a game which kind of loosely tied him in the film. But before that...
I played that. That was disappointing.
It was fine.
It was okay.
It was like a lazy... Like, they gave up on the reboot. Because a lot of people... It was weird. Because it seemed a lot of people really liked the reboot. And then retrospectively down the line, everyone seemed to curse it out. I fucking loved the reboot.
Are you talking about
the trilogy
with the like,
no the one where you couldn't die?
Oh,
loads of people hated it. Oh my god, I love that game.
It had a really nice art style.
I love the art style,
but the gameplay, it wasn't. You just didn't feel as acrobatic. And
I don't know what it was. Like, I know a lot of people had grief
for
there.
It was very formulaic. I thought.
See, I love the open world. I love the art style. One thing I didn't get was people getting upset about the fact that you didn't die. It's like exactly the same. Okay, all these other games, you die and you get pushed back, like, let's be honest, in modern games, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, checkpoints are so regular.
Yeah, yeah.
It was exactly the same, only you didn't get to see him fall to his death. Why did people get so upset about it? Why did they have to see him die? It was like people were tricked into thinking it wasn't a challenge because they didn't die. In any other game nowadays, you know, you die, but it means nothing.
Yeah.
So why did we have to see him fall? Like, I didn't think that was an issue. I thought the game was great. As I said, I love the art style. But more importantly, I quite like the film, as we said.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. Again, let's be honest.
None
of these are great.
She was okay as like a petulant princess.
And again, Gemma Arterton is... I'm going to come across really bad here, but she is... She looks great in that film.
Let's just put it down to they know the gaming audience.
In fairness, though, Jake Gyllenhaal looked great in that film. I mean, I'm as straight as an arrow, but he's a handsome dude, and he was cut to shit in that film. He looked the part. You know, the ladies, there was something for the ladies, something for the guys. Because
he's better looking than his sister, to be honest.
He is. Like, she's weird, Maggie Gyllenhaal, because she's not traditionally attractive, but she does have a certain sex appeal about her. Exudes sex appeal in a strange way. As I said, she's not kind of like Jake Gyllenhaal's clearly handsome, traditionally handsome. Yeah. She's not traditionally beautiful, but there's just something about maybe it's that film Secretary.
Maybe it was that.
I'm not sure, but you know, we're both happy with that.
Also, Alfred Molina.
Any film with Alfred Molina is better.
Good as a comedy kind of character.
Yeah. All I can think when I think of Alfred Molina is this. You can't see it, but I'm making a funny face and I'm rubbing my fingers together. But that's all I think when I think of Alfred Molina is the star.
Pass me the whip.
Pass me the whip. I threw you the idol. You threw me the whip. Sorry, he's great anyway, but... Yeah. Sorry, you were saying.
Ben Kingsley as well. Yeah. You know, he's the stalwart of British villainy. Like,
he's your... If you need someone foreign, but nondescript, just vaguely foreign, you get Ben Kingsley.
You know what, though? Like, when the first time I saw him, I immediately thought of the Hood from Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that kind of... It'll be the same with Iron Man 3. Because he's playing the Mandarin. As soon as he said the Mandarin, I was talking to my friend, I was like, if they're going to do him, it's only going to be Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm just going to grab a beer.
We need to come prepared for your alcoholism next time.
just to explain to everyone, I don't usually drink that much and I don't really smoke that much, but for some odd reason, when it comes to the podcast, I see it as an excuse to not only drink but to also have a cigarette.
It's basically, I'm a very stressful person to be around.
Yeah, so basically, the fact of the matter is, I haven't known him long, but Ross is a bit of a cunt. So it's like, I need to get some beer in me just to get through this fucking podcast. But yeah, the next one on the list I'm going to go to, we're keeping pretty, quite modern here.
Okay.
But one a lot of gamers had high hopes for was Hitman. And I think Timothy Olyphant, you know, people were quite happy with the choice.
I never watched it.
The thing is, it's another one of those films, like so many on this list here, where it's not terrible.
Right.
But it's the trailers, you saw it, you thought, Timothy Olyphant, I'll get my words together here. He looks the part, the trailer looked cool, it looked like they got the kind of design right, but it was just lacking something. So I'm going to go, I'm just going to say don't bother watching that. It was a bit of a disappointment. Maybe they'll make a sequel.
The whole thing about Hitman is that you make the story yourself, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's one of these games, and we spoke a bit about it last week, is that it's all about that experience, the passive experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the story is being told to you as you play the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, in Hitman, you hear people having conversations, mm-hmm. and it's like you're in that world.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole point of that
is... You feel very much like an intruder.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about Hitman, mm-hmm. is you choose how to play that game.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, that's probably even, like... While that is an issue for the film, it's not even the major issue. The fact of the matter is, it's just not that well made. It's just, even if you take it as just... You forget about the video game, just take it as a flat-out action movie.
Yeah.
It's just so run-of-the-mill, straight to DVD. And again, the biggest problem, it's just so forgettable. It really is. But
that's sad.
It is, you know, maybe they'll make another one. But that leads me straight into another one, which, again, just... Like, it looked the part... But God, it was shit. Was Max Payne. I'm going to put that straight in the don't watch list. I'm sorry, Ross, but...
No, I haven't seen that one either.
It's just garbage. I mean, Mark Wahlberg, again, Mark Wahlberg is... He's either great or he's utterly garbage.
Yeah.
And in this film, he's utterly garbage.
Max Payne has... I'm going to get a bit soppy here, but Max Payne has a special place for me. Like,
it's few people where Max Payne has a special place.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, like... the game that brought me and my dad together.
That's quite sweet.
Yeah. Basically, I hadn't known my dad since I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met again when I was about 12, 13.
Yeah.
And by this point, I was starting to discover games.
Yeah.
And He had played things like Jungle Strike on the Mega Drive.
I love Jungle Strike. I used to love that game. And Desert Strike.
Yeah. And like PGA Golf, like the PGA Tour Golf. Classic. This is before it was Tiger Woods, you know.
Yeah.
And so he liked games, but he was never really a gamer.
Yeah.
And now, like, basically, I brought Max Payne round because he had a better PC than I did.
Yeah.
And one
you
night,
bonded over it.
Yeah. We sat and played Max Payne, and he really likes his kind of action stories.
I feel almost pretty bad about putting on the shit list.
No, because the movie.
Totally. And the movie is gash.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. The game's great. And
the game itself, and now he's a gamer.
Really? Like,
I would actually say my dad is a gamer, not just someone who plays games. He's not a casual gamer.
Oh, I mean, my dad wouldn't know a game if it hit him in the face. He just has no idea whatsoever.
Because before that, like, he never really had, he didn't seem to have any interest anyway. Mm-hmm. But now, he's got a nice house now. Back then, he was kind of his job had him all over the place.
Oh, shop, yeah.
So now, he's settled down, he's married, and he's
playing Max Payne 3.
He loved Max Payne 3.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
He plays Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. So he's a proper gamer then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. He's not too big into his online. Oh, in fact, no. What am I saying? He's picked up online as well.
Really? So that is the sign of a serious gamer. If you're playing online,
he's also refined enough to know that Call of Duty is starting to milk that cow a bit too much.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just bored with it now.
That's the sound of a real gamer. It's like, oh my god, I'm so fucking bored of Call of Duty.
I love speaking to my dad about games because he's totally above. Like, he's a gamer, his head isn't where mine is when it comes to games, and he doesn't have people constantly talking to him about games.
Yeah.
And he's not so much into the culture, he just likes playing games.
Oh, yeah, it's fair enough.
So, I get the real honest story from him, because he's not trying to be a poser or anything.
Yeah. He's just playing what he wants to play. He's not even thinking, I feel like I have to play everything.
I
get caught up in that sometimes. Like, I feel like I want to play everything, I don't want to miss out on anything. But
I tried to get him to play Fallout, and he wasn't into it.
I don't think he has
the patience for it.
Maybe
just the time for it.
Yeah, I think we get on really well, me and your old man. It is good though, and like to have something, as you say, with your parents, because you hear all these. I was talking to one of my friends today, and he's basically talking about how he had nothing in common with his parents, and it's like they come up, and it's just a bit of a struggle. But as you say, if you've got something like that, like something in common with your old man, and you can talk about videos, like I said, I've got football. Me and my dad, it's like I'll call him up, and for half an hour, we'll hardly say anything. It'll be things. Yeah, things are fine. Anyway, Liverpool, and it'll be 30 minutes of football, and then we'll put down the phone, and that'll be that. But that's just what we talk about.
I
think that kind of stuff's important.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I used to not mind football. I still don't mind football. Yeah. I'll watch football. Mm-hmm. If it's a good team. Scottish football's quite hard to watch.
Well, I'm actually wearing my Wales football shirt today, so if you're talking about fucking the hard football to watch the Welsh national team, that's always a bit tricky. As much as I want to love them, I mean, God, they put you through the ringer.
Yeah. My dad loves football.
He was
a devout Rangers fan. Now, he's still a big Rangers fan, but he used to be like a season ticket holder.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, it doesn't matter the fact that I'm in football because you've got the video game thing.
Yeah, well, also, I was 13, 14 when I really got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
His music taste has greatly influenced mine.
Like
The Who is my all-time favourite band.
Really?
It's
classic.
So much thanks to them.
See, I'm into rock music because my dad's in a band, so I got into stuff like the Foo Fighters. Like he did, not so much the classic stuff. I kind of almost pushed away against that, but even stuff like he got me into like the Red Hot Chili Peppers when I was younger, like Blood Sugar Sex Magik. And he bought me the album, but that's pretty cool. But the fact remains though, Max Payne the movie was garbage.
Yes.
We can agree on that.
From football to Max Payne. Yes.
Yeah. I mean that was a bad film. Again, it was one of those films, like it looked the part, it really captured I thought the kind of the visual style of the well, the first two video games anyway, certainly not the third.
Did it still have the thing with his family and the drug dealers and the whole really dark story?
It had them, like, his wife, spoiler alert, I guess. I don't know if you don't know.
Yeah,
that,
the game's like 10 years old.
We're telling you not to watch anyway, so fuck it. But yeah, like, there's, it's not as violent, but basically he comes home and the guys have just killed his kids, but there's nothing as trippy as, like, you know, the scene where
the drug level with the screaming baby.
Yeah, and you're walking on the blood trail and stuff.
I was, like I say, like 14, 15 when I played that.
And not only that,
terrifying.
There was nothing, there were very few games like that with that kind of experience. You know, it's, yeah, you know, people are trying different things now, and obviously content's becoming a bit more adult.
The slow motion stuff was what kept me coming back to that gameplay, because it was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, he's just covering his mouth. I just thought it's probably not the best idea for a podcast, but no, it's fine.
Yeah, sorry, I'm half asleep. But I mean, the story was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone really expected that. I mean, it was
like a classic
film noir.
Yeah, noir style kind of thing. I don't think it had been done at least many times, not to my knowledge. But yeah, as I said, I liked the game, and I was surprised how much, you know, while it had its faults, it was almost too rooted in the past. I did enjoy Max Payne 3, even though it did have its faults. The review, I'm pretty sure I reviewed it for Brash Games, so I'm going to say check out the 360 review on www.brashgames.co.uk. If it's not by me, then I'm sorry I made that, but maybe I just played it, but I'm sure, I'm fucking sure I reviewed it.
I really enjoyed Max Payne 3.
I gave it a really good review. My only issue was that in some ways it was a bit too stuck in the past, but, you know, it was a good game.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, but going from a good game to a bad movie, we're going to go from a great game to an arguably utterly bollocks movie, and Street Fighter. I mean,
are we talking about the original one?
Well, let's start with that one and just go straight on, don't watch. Okay, there is the argument for it's so
bad, it's good.
So horrible that it's kind of entertaining.
It is a little bit, like, yeah.
Kylie Minogue,
Jean-Claude Van Damme, for some reason,
as Guile.
This, two of the most unlikable characters from that series.
And to have Van Damme, the muscles from Brussels, as the all-American kind of action hero Guile. Ken was shit. Right, Ryu was like a bit part player again.
Saving Grace.
Actually, I didn't write this on the list. One, I'll just say before I forget, definitely watch Street Fighter, the animated movie. The manga one. Do you not like it?
I don't like manga, really.
Oh, well, don't listen to this, dude. If you want to watch a Street Fighter movie, watch, because I know there's like Alpha and all that jazz, but just watch the Street Fighter 2 animated movie. That's great. But, yeah, God, the Street Fighter movie, that was a bad
one. Oh, man, what was his name as well? The guy that played Bison.
Wait, wasn't that the guy who died soon? That was his last
role. He died just after
He was also
in the Adams Family.
Rodriguez. He had like a Spanish name or Mexican. Again, vaguely racist. I'm just throwing it. But
I think
he was like high camp, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, but it was so, like, that outfit.
Oh,
he had to be
such a bad outfit.
The thing, all the bad, like, if you want to talk about camp, Vega.
Vega was, I mean, but Vega's like, he's the one who's almost okay to be slightly gay, but again, it's another classic example of taking the look from the video game too literally. It works in manga form. The only problem with the manga one, it's like they get to a scene with Dalsim in India, and Dalsim has this really fucking American accent. It's like, have you ever felt the fighting spirit of another? I'm like, what the fuck are you from? You're supposed to be from Delhi. I mean, that's retarded, but like the final fight between Bison, Ken and Ryu, like E Honda's and Guile show up for a bit as well. But
to be honest,
that
E Honda
awesome.
Is possibly the easiest costume. It's just
he's just a sumo, isn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but he doesn't have he does have more of like a mini skirt, doesn't he? Kind of thing, traditional sumo wear. But yeah, Street Fighter the movie, watch if you want to laugh, but be very aware you're watching it just for that, because it is appallingly
bad. I listened to the Comedy Button, is another podcast I listen to, and they do like a movie commentary, and they did one for Home Alone,
yeah,
and they did one for
Street Fighter.
And it's brilliant. It's funny. It's just them taking the piss out of it.
If they ever listen to this, that's a free little, you know, dig for your site. You know, we're put it up there. So, you know, pay it forward, dude.
They don't need the hits.
No, they don't. We fucking do. We're just starting up. So if you hear this, you mention Brass Cats, and it better be positive. Otherwise, I'm not going to do very much, but still, you know, be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice, pay it forward.
It's so bad it's good.
Bad it's good, but I'd still say, as a traditional film, don't watch, but as a, you know. Yeah. The thing is, I haven't actually seen The Legend of Chun-Li.
Neither have I.
I heard it's gash, and I heard, is it Kevin Kline, the guy who played...
He was in Batman, was he not?
No, from American Pie. He played, like, the jock guy, the guy who did,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, he was, like, the really emotional, douchey one. He's supposed to be...
Casanova.
Yeah, he's supposed to be utterly appalling in it. Although it does have Lana Lang in it, which I thought was a good casting choice, because she, again... is so...
It's just basically what this is coming down to.
It is, it's bad, isn't it? I'm not using this bad, but... She is very attractive, and beyond that, I thought she'd be a good fit, because she was from, I guess, most famous from Smallville.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to quite like Smallville, but I think it got to, like, Series 6 or something, and it just went super retired. I was just super retired.
They got rid of the guy that was playing Lex Luthor.
Did they?
He left because he was worried about being typecast. I can understand that.
I think I stopped when it was like the end of the world. I have no idea, but Lana Lang turned evil, and I was just like, oh, really?
Being the comic book nerd that I am, I was just like, they kept introducing members of the Justice League.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of bailed before it got to that point, so yeah. I think it was like the 5th, 6th series. But while we can't comment on that, I did hear it was really, really bad. So, you know... don't watch based on what I've heard, but I haven't seen it, so, you know, it's up to you. Sadly, I got through half of Tekken. Now, not the animated movie, the live-action movie of Tekken.
There are two. There is one that's very low-budget.
Oh, I saw the larger-budget one, right. the recent one.
The low-budget one, apparently...
I haven't heard of this.
Most of it's filmed in the woods.
Really?
Apparently that's the cheapest place to film. Oh, God. Just in some trees.
Well, the actual... The newer one, I mean, it's straight to DVD material, but yeah. I was checking up on the figures, and I think it cost like 30, 40 million, and it made like a million at worldwide box office. Oh. So it was a big, big flop, and for good reason. It was a poor, again, really, really bad film. So I'm going to put that straight. If you haven't seen it,
no. No,
don't watch it.
To be honest.
That goes to you and everybody listening. Don't watch Tekken. Yeah. It is gash. The animated movies are a bit better. But I still didn't think they were great. But that's
your shame, because there's got some really cool characters. But yeah. my favorite Tekken character was always Lee, who is just Jackie Chan.
He is very much just Jackie Chan, and they had Bruce Lee in it, basically, didn't they?
As Lee. Well, so. And his dad as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they were both chefs, aren't they?
Cooks. I think they do.
There's always some crappy CG bit at the end where they're just kind of in a kitchen hitting.
Yeah.
But
it's a game that has a panda as a character,
which is great.
Yeah,
I was never the biggest fan of Tekken. I didn't dislike it. I just never like seriously got into it. I was always more into 2D fighters. But I did buy Tekken 6, and I quite enjoyed that. It was pretty good.
Technically, they're brilliant.
Yeah, they're good games. Yeah, yeah. But a lot of the big hitters. I mean, Dead or Alive 5 is coming out soon, and that gets a lot of bad rap. Oh, there's another film, don't watch Dead or Alive. And that's coming from me, and let's be honest. I mean, based on this podcast, I'm an utter filth meister.
I cannot forget the film Dead or Alive, because shortly afterwards, I was in a car crash.
Really?
Coming back from Dead or Alive.
You went to see it at the cinema?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, part of me won't say serves you right for going to see it at the cinema, but it depends on how bad a car crash.
It wasn't strictly my choice, but yeah... A car crash just afterwards.
Well,
so.
that does make it memorable.
Yeah.
But a car crash of a movie and a car crash afterwards, it's a double whack. That's a bad night. That is a bad... I assume you weren't a fan of the movie.
No, not really.
Even with Holly Valance. But it was so bad.
Like, considering that even the game is notorious for it's just,
oh, it's,
you know,
just
what?
Ridiculous.
Have
isn't
some
it?
Boobs.
Yeah. What isn't there something on the game where
you can turn the sag in age, the sag factor?
If, for some odd reason, the older you are, the more
floppy,
the more boob you get.
No, it's more they move.
Yeah, yeah. They just bounce on. It's the point where it's
to the point where these are bikinis made out of space age materials,
yeah,
because they are performing miracles.
I remember when I reviewed Beach Volleyball Extreme for the PSP, and Bethan came home and she looked over my shoulder. I'm sitting
what
there playing.
Are you
like,
playing?
What the fuck is that? I was like, it's for review. I didn't pay for this, but
she's packing a bag. But look,
yeah, yeah, I'm
going to stay at friends for a while.
This is too much now. But yeah, that was a bad film.
Yeah,
life.
It seems to be beat 'em ups because they never really rely on that much of a story.
Yeah, it's a bad idea to make a film based on a fighter, but as I said, Dead or Alive, the game though, I think it's a bad rap. I think the parry system has a lot more depth to it than people give it credit for.
Because
a lot of people were upset to hear that Dead or Alive 5 is very similar to the previous iterations in terms of,
yeah,
you know, they haven't overhauled the kind of mechanics or, you know, the core combat.
Yeah.
But I always quite liked Dead or Alive. I thought, you know, it, you know, get past the boobs and stuff, it was actually a pretty solid technical.
I like the whole destructible scenery aspect of
it. Yeah,
things,
which is supposed to be turned up a notch for this one.
Yeah, yeah. It looks good.
Oh, visually it looks amazing. Again,
yeah.
I still think visually Dead or Alive is still the benchmark quite often. Like, Dead or Alive 5 looks, from what I've seen, again, probably looks like the best fighter.
The shading effects, but
no, that is a mighty yawn.
When they had the Master Chief,
mm-hmm,
you could unlock the Master Chief, and the lightning effects on his armor just as you threw him
you
around.
You could unlock the Master Chief?
Yeah, yeah.
In Dead or Alive 4?
Three. Or 4. I'm not sure.
I played those games, but I never unlocked Master
Chief.
Yeah.
You could definitely unlock the Master Chief.
Ah, man. Just totally missed that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They know be the most famous, but although
I think it was Microsoft's way of saying, look, well, if you put this guy in and make it exclusive,
mm-hmm,
you know,
they do have the crossover, the Virtual Fighter crossover for Dead or Alive 5, though, don't they? what's his name? Oh, the main character, Virtual Fighter.
Oh, I have no idea. Virtual Fighter was, well, I was well out of Sega's pocket.
I've been so bad with these podcasts in terms of just forgetting names.
Well,
you're
one of the five people that bought
Saturn. I love Virtual Fighter, and for some reason the names just dropped out. In fairness, I am terrible with names, and I apologise to everyone. This will happen.
It's very late in the day, and we've been working.
It is. I'm sleepy. I'm going to use that as an excuse, but I should be able to remember this. But anyway, Dead or Alive movie, terrible. Don't watch it. Silent Hill 1 and 2, we've already had those. We're going to put those, you know, haven't seen 2, but, you know, give them a go or whatever. Super Mario Brothers, that mess.
That's another one I would maybe say so bad it's good.
Like, it's so, it was a terrible idea. Mario Brothers does not, and believe it or not, if you don't know about it, it's a very gritty take on
They mess with the story quite a bit.
Oh yeah, it's set in like a dystopian future, and instead of like the Koopas are 7 foot tall dinosaurs with giant head, tiny heads.
Yeah,
and Dennis Hopper is the main bad guy.
Yeah,
the only good thing about it is
Bob Hoskins is in it as well.
Bob Hoskins is like, don't
and
get me
John,
wrong,
even John Leguizamo really gotten quite famous since then.
In fairness, the casting, it was a bad idea. But the casting was the one thing I thought they did well. I thought casting those two as Mario and Luigi, it's like, yeah, that's great. Especially
works,
Bob Hoskins as Mario is the one shining light in that movie. It's an inspired choice.
The only bit I really remember...
Sorry, we've got the cat growling.
Is the lift scene when he makes them dance in the lift.
Oh, man.
I was very young when I watched it.
I wasn't young enough. I was old enough to know better.
You can't,
and that is
it.
Going straight in the don't watch. Again, maybe if you want to watch it just out of intrigue, because it is that bad, but it really is.
I love Dennis Hopper as well. So
I love
sad.
Dennis Hopper, but you're not in this film.
No.
You love Dennis Hopper? Watch Blue. Well, I say watch Blue Velvet, but be prepared.
Yeah, or Speed.
Watch Speed. Watch Easy Rider.
Yeah.
Just don't watch Superman.
In fact, no. Watch True Romance.
He's great.
That scene with him and Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
True Romance.
I mean, that's a classic.
People talk about Heat, you know, Michael Mann's Heat when it's...
Oh, Robert De Niro and Pacino in the diner.
But for me, For me, it's great walking scene. And Dennis
It was
Hopper.
In Empire recently. They do a classic scene every week.
All right.
Every week, every month at the back. And recently they had that. And I was just like, yeah, that was an awesome scene.
Yeah.
I need to go back and rewatch that film because I haven't
seen it. If you want racism, watch that scene, the Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper scene.
For some reason, whenever I think of that film, what pops into my head is dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah, Gary Oldman
in the dreadlocks. He's just so OTT, but for some odd reason it worked. After watching Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, like, how can he be the same fucking guy?
That's Jim but Gordon, damn it.
That is Jim Gordon, yeah. Well, there's a better reference for you. But Super Mario Brothers, that's going in there. This one, I think could go either way. Again,
okay. This one's actually up for debate.
Doom.
I actually don't mind it.
I didn't hate it. That's the nicest thing to say. I didn't hate it.
It's watchable. There's a lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I like the cast. Like, I like The Rock. I think Dwayne Johnson is, you know, he's very believable as an action star. You know, he's filled to the brim with charisma, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't show it necessarily to a great extent in that film because it's not his character.
You know, it's...
But I like Carl Urban as well.
Every other word out of his mouth is just fuck.
Fuck.
That's
fuck,
all he says. Fuck. And the thing is, me and my brother actually, like, I think I went to the cinema to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched it a couple of times since, and I actually don't mind watching it.
I could watch it. I'm going to put that on the watch list, because the first person scene
that's done really, really cool.
Well, that's pretty cool. Like, it does look bang on, like, the game, but...
Spoilers here, but the very ending,
mm-hmm.
they solve it with a fist fight.
Yeah,
it's a game based
things,
on a shooter.
Yeah.
And they solve it with a fist.
Carl Urban fights The Rock, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because The Rock goes crazy and gets infected.
Yeah.
The end's just retarded. And as we said, the film's not perfect by any stretch. It's not even that great. But I'd go and say watch it, especially with Doom 3 coming out soon.
Oh, the BFG edition. I'm so looking forward to playing that again.
I'm really hyped to play it. I loved... Because I never really got into Doom when I was younger. And that came out, I remember, on computers when I was relatively young. And I remember it being a big deal amongst my friends. But... For some odd reason, I didn't get into it, but Doom 3,
I absolutely loved.
I loved Doom 3. The only thing I'm upset about is something you actually mentioned to me.
The flashlight.
Is that you can have the flashlight and the gun at the same time. I love that mechanic.
So many people whinged, and I'm like, it's so much more atmospheric.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
You can either defend yourself,
or you can see.
Or you can see what's coming.
Yeah. It was, for that game... And to give it, you know, because the first person shooter, so many of them, you just run along, and even if, you know, it's supposed to be scary, you just blast everything.
Yeah.
It was a clever twist. It didn't make sense, but it just.
And it had that unique.
Worked.
For a shooter, it had that unique combination of quiet areas where mm-hmm. there's, like, very obvious places for something to hide.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there.
Yeah. And then
you go into
later.
The next room, and then you have to come back.
Yeah.
And you think, oh no, it's clear. And then it gets you.
Yeah. The game is. In fairness, based almost completely on cheap scares, but it does those cheap scares so well.
And it's beautiful. Like,
oh, it was a great looking game.
It wouldn't look out of place on the 360. There's not that many games that I think would have held up.
Well, it was in the kind of same league. I think it had the same treatment as, say, Riddick did. Because Riddick looked great on the Xbox, and they gave it a bit of a HD makeover. It wasn't too much of a push from the original to HD. And I think if they did the same thing with Doom, it would be fine, because it was a great-looking game. And I just think a bit of a HD polish, and it'll do absolutely fine. But the film, go watch that.
Give it a go.
It's not too bad.
It's him and his eyebrow. Every time there's a close-up on The Rock, his eyebrow.
I know, but he's getting better. He's toned that down, and as I said, he's great. Speaking of Fast Five earlier, he's awesome in that. The fight between, like, Fast Five, it's worth going to see just for the fight between him and Vin Diesel. It's just testosterone all over the shop. It's an awesome fight scene. But speaking of fighting, we got one more before we get to a list of definite don't watch.
Okay.
And that's Mortal Kombat. I remember
there's three of them.
We'll talk about the second and third ones were appalling. We'll talk about the first one, which does have...
It's Jason Scott Lee, isn't it? That's the main character. He plays the main character.
The Liu Kang.
Yeah.
And it was directed by the guy who did... Oh, what else did he direct? Event Horizon and stuff. And did he not direct Resident Evil? Is that the same guy? Wes Anderson? I think that's the name. Not Wes Anderson, because obviously he directs... It's something like that. Paul Anderson or something like that. I'm sure he directed the Resident Evil films.
Just,
I'm sure he did Event Horizon, which
just
is okay.
As an aside, if anyone ever wants to watch Dead Space, the movie...
No, the animated films...
But by Event Horizon. because
no, yeah, it is just the same film.
Like I say, I don't really like horror films.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Event Horizon scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it did when I was younger. I was trying to sell
it's
it.
It's Sam Neill, man.
Oh yeah, we're going. You would need eyes.
Yeah. Oh my god.
All I remember, like, what used to freak everyone out was the scene with the airlock. It's been done so many times. Yeah. Like every sci-fi film since, any kind of horror in space, like Sunshine did it.
Yeah.
They always have the airlock scene, and I remember the kids like, oh, "Mama Bear," and then he kind of falls through, and like his eyes pop out and his arm grows. But yeah, Dead Space is basically just Event Horizon, yeah, as you say. But
that portal to hell.
Mortal Kombat, though, I'm going to say, I went back and watched it about a year ago, and it had not aged well at all. The soundtrack was still okay, but...
Mortal Kombat. We have that on it at work, actually.
Clearly. Really? See, I don't mind the soundtrack, but I'm going to say, right, while it's so much better than Street Fighter... I'm still going to argue for Don't Watch, because yeah, I don't think it's aged that well.
I didn't like it.
Well, it's going on there. Don't Watch. We might get a bit of grief for that, because I think a lot of people liked it. But,
yeah, I mean...
But like people, I said, before you go kicking off...
We're talking about people's childhoods, you know.
Yeah, I just think before you go kicking off, go back and watch it again, because it really hasn't aged all that well. Oh. But, well, let's be honest, going back to those... I mean, sorry if we've missed anything obvious, but... There are no classics there. There are no classics. But there are an array of truly horrible films, all from the maestro himself, Uwe Boll. I'm not sure if I've pronounced that right. Is it Uwe Boll?
I think it is.
Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
I've gone out of my way to watch as much as I can of most of his films, just out of intrigue. Because he's you know, commonly referred to as the worst director on the planet, at least the worst director who's actually given money anyway.
I think The Room, like Tommy Wiseau,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of become famous. Like, I have a few friends who really like him only because he is so terribly bad. The Room apparently is something you have to watch.
I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it either, but no. I'm willing to watch it because apparently it is so bad.
Yeah. These, I wouldn't even put these, right, they're horrendous.
Yeah.
They almost teeter on the brink of being so bad that they're worth watching, but then you realise, no, they go beyond that. Terrible. They're just appalling. This guy is responsible for Blood Rain. I think there are about three of those.
I think there is three. I've seen even the...
Seen all of them.
Michael Madsen's in one of them.
Uwe Boll is how he gets... Obviously, he's getting money from somewhere, because he gets... relatively decent cast members quite often.
Yeah, like maybe they were big in the 90s.
Well, they're obviously just looking for a payday.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Dorff, obviously he's reduced to beast, but he's not a terrible actor, and he was in Blood Rain.
Blade 1, that's the last thing I've seen him that I've liked.
Seen him in quite, like, again, this isn't going to sell people necessarily, but I can't remember the name of the film, but he was in a prison drama with him and Val Kilmer, which sounds bad. But Val Kilmer, it's one of his,
to be honest,
better turns, and they were both very good in that. Like, we were talking about that today. Val Kilmer, while he's often shit and often when he's good, he's still exceptional.
Like,
that's what we were talking about. My friend actually was he just watched it, and I was saying how great he was. But with Val Kilmer, I always go back to Tombstone. If you haven't seen Tombstone, yeah, go and watch it. It's got nothing to do with video games, but it's a fucking amazing film, and there's a great cast in it. Everyone's good in it. But Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday is maybe one of my favourite performances of all time. I mean, and again, I do not say that lightly. He is so good as Doc Holliday in Tombstone, to the point where you just think, how did it go so wrong afterwards? I mean, the guy even pulled off a ponytail in Heat. When he was good, he was great. He wasn't even a bad Batman.
He wasn't the worst Batman, though.
No, George Clooney was the worst Batman. Yeah. But, you know, he didn't have a chance. It was a terrible film. But, yeah, Uwe Boll, his films, appalling. Blood Rain, all of them terrible. I haven't seen 2 and 3, but I'm going to go on record and say they're definitely terrible. Definitely terrible. Alone in the Dark. Christian Slater was in that, wasn't
he? I haven't seen it. Is apparently the benchmark for awfulness now.
It is. Again, because they always seem to be on, like, is it the Sci-Fi Channel? They often have stuff, because, you know, you get Uwe Boll films and, like, Sharktopus, you know, Sharkman versus Robot Soldier or something.
Yeah.
And, I watched 20 Minutes of Alone in the Dark, and was Tara Reid in that as well?
Oh, maybe, like, that was probably during the phase where, you know, she was needing money for
Oh, for drugs. She loves those drugs.
Yeah.
Loves those drugs. Well, maybe that's what Uwe Boll preys on. Ex-movie stars who just need
Michael Madsen, maybe. I don't know.
He doesn't even pay with money.
Crazy. Yeah.
He just pays with coke. That's what he pays with. But yeah, Alone in the Dark, definitely terrible.
Yeah.
Far Cry. Oh my god.
I only found out about Far Cry from working.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
you think it's a video game bang on the shelf.
I'm like, what? When did this happen?
I know. Don't. Not even out of interest. Yeah. Just don't do it. Do not do it. Postal. I mean, that was a terrible game.
When you consider that the game itself
is one of the worst games ever. It's just a shocking game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the film is just as bad. Well, it's just appallingly bad. And the most interesting one, don't get me wrong, again, appalling. I didn't even know that In the Name of the King was based on a video game. In the Name of the King had a $60 million budget and went to cinemas. It stars Jason Statham.
Well, that's me not watching it then.
Salah from Indiana Jones and Gimli, you know, from
John Rhys Davies.
I should know as a Welshman.
But he's like a classically trained actor.
Yeah, well. He's in it. Ray Liotta's in it.
I think he's Scottish though, John Rhys Davies, isn't he?
Oh no, he's Welsh.
Oh right,
definitely Welsh. I'm claiming Salah.
I'm just used to him as Gimli. That's.
Oh, I'm claiming Salah as a Welshman. He even plays a Welsh tree, basically. Because he does the voices of the trees.
Yeah.
He puts on a relatively Welsh accent, I think.
I was deaf. Well, never mind.
Just saying, doesn't sound right. But then again, you are very small.
He never calls anyone Boyo, but.
Boyo? That'd be great if you had the Ents calling Boyo. How's it going, Boyo? Where are you off to? A ring, is it?
To be fair, everyone has a regional accent in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, they do.
It's a bit on. The Welsh are.
It is good if you get one person in the film who it was like the most negative example of it being Alexander when
he was Irish.
Everybody had to be Irish.
It's because Colin Farrell, he doesn't even do a good Irish accent. Going back to Daredevil,
he does a great American accent, but he's a shit Irish accent.
He's Irish. It was Bullseye.
Oh, it was so bad. But a good example is Anthony Hopkins in Beowulf. When he plays a crazy Welshman in the kind of Nord village.
Yeah, that one's weird all over.
You've got to go and kill a Grendel, you do. I actually quite like that film. Yeah. I've got a soft spot for Beowulf. But
because of a particular lady?
Even if she's in CG, she looks hot in that. But In the Name of the King is actually a dungeon siege tale, which I didn't know. It's actually In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale. So there's one for the PC gamers. We do mention them occasionally.
See, dungeon siege, you'd assume that would be... They would make a Joseph Fritzl game out of that.
Joseph Fritzl game. There needs to be a Joseph Fritzl game. If anyone's listening, sitting on their hands, twiddling their thumbs, thinking, what are we going to make a game based on? Make it of Joseph fucking Fritzl. That's what the world needs.
Yeah. Dungeon Siege.
Just call it Dungeon Keeper. Dungeon Siege, whatever you want to call it. But we've gone there as well.
Yeah.
We've gone there. Jesus.
Just in case there's a demographic.
There's nothing out of bounds on Brashcast. Nothing out of bounds. But yeah, that was, again, I watched, because I was intrigued by this one. I was like, they've given the guy like $60 million budget.
Yeah.
And he's got like Jason Statham, he's got a bit of a cast. See what we were about Jason Statham, he's still a movie star.
I'm just looking forward to seeing what Nick Cage is going to be in now that he's got all this tax money to reclaim. That's why he's in films.
Just everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need an actor. You know, if you're looking for a paycheck, just get Nicolas Cage. Yeah. I just quite like Nicolas Cage, but yeah, he's in some shit films.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dungeon Siege. In the Name of the King, then she's whatever, is an appalling film.
Wow.
It's basically Lord of the Rings light. Just don't bother watching it. They actually, despite costing $60 million, I think, again, it made like $2 million at the box office. So a huge flop.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it had really good DVD sales, but they've made two films since. Well, no, they've made one film since, the second one starring Dolph Lundgren. I actually love Dolph Lundgren, so I'm intrigued by that. And there is a third one in production at the moment, due for release in 2013. So I don't know who's seeing that, if the DVD sales were through the roof, but Uwe Boll films are universally gash. There's a reason he's referred to as, you know, the worst director working today, is because he is the worst director working today, who just happens to love, and you know, obviously that's himself. His thing though. He exploits the video game market. He's like, these are bad films, but video gamers will go and see them just because it's based on the games that they enjoy.
That is something I think we as gamers need to address, is we need to up our standards because it's getting ridiculous.
Well, no, because we're intrigued. they need to just, the filmmakers need to up their standards. I think they need to find a balance between being reverential to the game, but remembering that it is a movie.
Yeah, I mean, movie, but put in a bit of fan service, you know.
And, well, the other thing is, if it's not going to work, the one film that would have worked, right, before we end this, one of the worst choices ever made was Neil Blomkamp was the guy responsible for District 9, was that it?
Is that the free running?
No, no, no.
Oh, no, the aliens.
The alien
Africa.
One in South Africa.
Yeah.
He actually made a short movie for, because he wanted, the plan was for him to direct Halo, but this was before he didn't have a plan. But it was going to be produced by Peter Jackson, and he was going to direct it.
I had heard about that.
And the short movie actually looks really good. Like, obviously, it's relatively low budget, but it really does look the part.
Have you seen Forward Up to Dawn yet?
I haven't seen that yet. I've heard it's pretty pimp.
Yeah, I think it's still in production, but you can see the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing, but this looked great, and if anything, you look at District 9 afterwards and what he did with a $30 million budget, and I think his new film Elysium is coming out soon with Matt Damon starring in that,
which looks
very impressive. And you just think, if only, you know, the clout of Peter Jackson producing it, someone like Neil Blomkamp directing it, Halo could have been spectacular. But you know, maybe we'll see the film Halo deserves, because there's a universe to explore there, and you know, of all the video game franchises, I think that is maybe one of the ones best suited to movies. You did mention, actually, speaking, was Metal Gear supposedly in some film.
Yeah.
I am terrified of the thought. While it is one of the most cinematic video games, I don't think it necessarily lends itself well to film. And it's not necessary.
It depends, though. It's not necessary, because Kojima, that's obviously
Hollywood
is
his influence. Yeah.
But I think if they let Kojima at least have a hand in it, or if whoever it is that writes the film at least has a passion for the game, then perhaps, you know,
I'm going on record to say I am genuinely concerned by the idea of it. I just can't see how it would work as an actual,
think of how much, like, if they're trying to set a film right in the middle of all of Metal Gear's lore,
they'd have to start from scratch.
There's no way they could, because there's so much that you, as a Metal Gear fan, need to know.
Jesus Christ. It's confusing enough for gamers.
Yeah.
I've played the whole series, and it's confusing enough. I mean, they would have to start from scratch, and they would have to simplify it for one, because unless you're going to make a TV series, a movie's not going to do it justice.
The first time you hear the words lally lule lo, you are going to walk out of that cinema. You're like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Patriots.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Gear. I mean, the thing is, it just, I don't know. I'm terrified by that. But we've already run over an hour. I think this is a good time as any to wrap this up. I'm not sure if we're going to do a flat out, you know, we're planning on doing a review of the summer movies that I've just got.
Yeah,
I mean, I've just seen Dread 3D, and I absolutely loved it. You're planning on seeing it tomorrow?
See it tomorrow,
That's something we might talk about next week again. You know, hopefully we'll throw in a bit of game chat as well. I think the idea is next week we might have a special guest, maybe. I say a special guest, you won't know who he is. It's just someone who isn't Liam or Ross.
Yeah.
That's about it. So, obviously, you know, we'll throw in a big game chat as always.
Next
but
week, maybe we could also talk about, maybe get some, I'll definitely look up a bit more about it, but the Michael Fassbender Assassin's Creed.
Oh, we should mention that now. That is the end of the episode. This is the video game movie episode. The thing is, I'm not sure about an Assassin's Creed movie, but anything with Michael Fassbender, I'm almost certain.
I really like Michael Fassbender.
He's fucking awesome.
It's his production company as well, so
that
he's going to have a big hand in it. He likes video games.
Yeah, that's always a good sign.
The only issue is, he is going to be playing the character.
Do you know which character they're going to go for?
I think they're going for Ezio, but I mean, he's got that.
The thing is,
cheeky face. Like, you can see him as Ezio.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ezio, like, I can't help but think of like a really dark, like an olive-skinned Mediterranean.
The thing is,
though,
one thing you're going to get guaranteed with Michael Fassbender if he does a film is full commitment. And he's great in just about every film I've seen. I mean, Prometheus.
I'm just looking forward to seeing in the front page of the paper, Michael Fassbender injures himself by
free diving off the top of a church in the middle of Venice
and landing in a bale of hay, and then just, oh shit, that didn't work. I was actually thinking about that recently. One of the games I did actually play this weekend, I finally got around to finishing Revelations. While it was a bit too samey for my taste, I just wanted to finish it just so I felt like I was ready to start Assassin's Creed 3. But I was thinking, I'm not sure if any of you guys watch Mythbusters, but Mythbusters is a fantastic show on Discovery. And basically, it started off, I think they originally did movies, but now it's just any old myth where they basically like, okay, can this happen? They put a myth to the test.
Is it basically them like taking horses to water and like, well, why won't you drink?
An example from like a movie one, for instance, is like they did Jaws. Like, you know, the idea that, you know, at the end, where he has a canister.
Yeah.
But they do like actual myths, but they do movie myths. And I thought, what about giving Assassin's Creed a go? Because Assassin's Creed would be great. I mean, beyond just
who's going to volunteer for that one?
Well, they could do different, because you do actually get people
like a meat puppet off the top.
Yeah, well, no, they have a guy, Buster, which is basically just a crash test. I mean, they use for everything. But what I thought immediately, what's the point? It's ridiculous. You do get these acrobats who jump off things and land in very shallow pools of water.
Yeah, that's
so you
true.
Think, you know, maybe it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but. Maybe that's one.
One's with those flying squirrels, you know, flying squirrel suits that they land in the cardboard boxes.
That's pretty crazy. But Assassin's Creed, it lends itself reason. The thing is, I love the premise. I know not everybody's sold on the sci-fi setting, the combination of sci-fi and history. I think it's brilliant. And it's worked so well for
the series. Cool. I don't mind it. Part of me would rather it was just without the sci-fi. You know,
That keeps me involved in the story. I really am.
Is the Templars versus the Assassins not enough to keep you interested, though?
But it is interesting, but you kind of drag that out over time, you know, with history and the apple of Eden.
The sci-fi element is enough, like, inherent in the whole, you can live your memories. You know, you can live your ancestors' memories.
It was a
that is sci-fi enough for me.
Yeah,
like that was enough for me.
Well, that the thing is that they've got to have a setup for that, don't they? So you need the animus, you need the tech behind it, and beyond whatever you think about it, as far as Ubisoft are concerned, it was a stroke of genius because now they can just go anywhere in time. It just doesn't, you know, they can do whatever they want. That almost led me into talking about Cloud Atlas. Because that's a film that snuck up on me. Have you heard of it?
No.
I'm not going to talk about it now. We'll leave that until next week when we're doing the full-on movie podcast. But Cloud Atlas is one of those films. It's fucking massive. It's made by the Wachowskis.
Oh, right. Okay. So Matrix. The Matrix guys.
Yes.
Matrix guy and girl.
Guy and girl. Yeah. He's full girl.
Transgender now.
He's Lana Wachowski now. Yeah. So actually, surprisingly... in the pictures, I think if I didn't know he used to be a dude,
I don't know what they look like.
I wouldn't have known. Surprisingly decent job, I thought.
To be honest, I know they're two nerds because they made The Matrix, so I just assumed they look like me, you know, overweight with a beard.
No, well, when the other guy, Larry, he's carrying a bit of timber, but it's those two and a guy called Tom Tykwer. I don't know much about him other than the fact that he directed Run Lola Run and recently did Perfume. Which are both?
My girlfriend made me watch Perfume. It was an interesting concept, but it was a very arty film. A lot of silence in that film. French orgy.
Yeah, I get very mixed reviews for that. But watch the trailer if you get a chance. Cloud Atlas. It's actually coming out in cinema pretty soon. They're actually shooting it just outside my work on Princess Street last year. Funny enough.
Oh, wow!
Believe me, the scale of this film. The reviews are already out. And the reviews literally range from terrible through to fantastic. But even the bad reviews kind of commend its scope, if nothing else, and its attempt to do something different.
That's cool.
But, I mean, you look at the trailer, it's 5.5 minutes long. It's made up... Look, I am actually talking about it now. This is actually happening. I'm going to leave this until next week. We're going to do a movie podcast next week. We're going to have maybe one of my mates in. Doesn't know shit about video games, but they do know movies, so... we'll have those guys on next week, but for now we'll leave you with the fact that there are no good video game movies.
No great.
Even any of these, it's terrible state of affairs, a horrible state of affairs, when the closest I would honestly say to good is Prince of Persia. Yeah. And that isn't a great film. It's a watchable film. There is a lot of shit. So, you know, movie industry, video game industry, sort it out. Let's see that see that Neil Blomkamp Halo film. That's what we all want to see.
I mean, if you, like, movie is obviously, we're talking live action movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's
some decent anime ones, but they don't count. As I said, you know, Street Fighter the movie, the anime movie, that was fine. The Dead Space ones are okay.
I've heard of that.
They're plenty of decent.
The Halo one's meant to be pretty good.
Yeah, the Halo one's okay. But again, you know, it's so much easier to do that because you can just capture the image. You know, I appreciate it's tricky to do a live action one, but yeah, we've got a lot of shit here. So keep Uwe Boll away from a camera. Keep a lot of these guys away from video games in general. But as I said, next week, more video games, more movies. But until then, catch you later.
Yeah, remember and follow...
Oh, I've done it again! this is the third week. Okay, you go for it. So I'll
remember and follow Brashcast on Twitter. That's at Brashcast. I am at Mr. Roaster. And Liam was at something.
I'm at Liam something. Pritchard 23. I'm going to go with that. Might be lying. Just go to at Brashcast. We're both logged into our Brashcast at Brashcast now. So, you know, if you're going to join that. And yeah, keep in touch. We also have a Hotmail account.
All right.
So if you actually want to send in anything, you know, any questions, anything you know, because let's be honest, we just started. If you send in a question, chances are you'll be on the podcast. I'm not sure if that means shit to you. But it's brashcast@hotmail.co.uk.
Okay.
I'm saying that. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Looking at me like I'm going to fill the
gaps.
I have no idea.
brashcast@hotmail.co.uk. I'm going to go with that. So, yeah, email us or, you know, send us your questions on Twitter, whichever way you want to go. And, yeah, we'll, you know, try and incorporate a question section into the next podcast. But, as I said, until the next one, you know, keep in touch.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah, thanks for, you know, I've got to be a bit nicer here.
Well,
they put
the extra 15 minutes.
Extra 15, we've got 15 minutes over our 1 hour limit, but, you know, that was 15 minutes of racism, sexism.
Yeah, and that's all for free, baby.
That's all for free. We dropped the racism and sexism for free, so, you know, come back next week. There's going to be more. All right, that's it.